Service that is going to be talking about a rural health program, followed up by Marta Gonzalez, who will be actually focusing on a program with farm workers, with migrant farm workers.
Thank you. The goals of this particular session today are to really learn about how to leverage NCI resources at that local level in providing cancer control, using the evidence, using the program, using what works, focused on evidence-based practice, and also the importance of collaboration and partnerships in moving forward in this endeavor. Do I push this one, or? Well, I could do this. I'll just do this. Okay, thank you. Oops. I'd like to thank our fellow contributors in the Atlantic region, which serves the states of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware, our New York Cancer Information Service, and the Appalachia Cancer Network, which is another NCI-funded entity serving the states of Pennsylvania and New York as well, and based out of Penn State University at Hershey. So let me give you a little bit of background. Linda kind of talked about the program itself and how it has both a regional, state, and now, of course, the local support of supporting our programs, supporting our partners in trying to really move the science into practice. And we support both NCI-funded and non-NCI-funded entities. So we really kind of weave in and out, and Kathy presented at working with our cancer control partners at that state level and then individually working with those particular organizations. The program that we're working with in the Appalachia Cancer Network really comes out of the Center to Reduce Cancer Health Disparities, which was established in 2001 and is really primarily focused on addressing the issue of cancer health disparities, as is the Cancer Information Service. And the Appalachia Cancer Network is one of 25 programs that have received a five-year grant to really focus on community-based participatory research. So, and it's also focused on rural populations. So the CNPs, as we call them, because, you know, we have acronyms for everything. So the CNPs are actually charged with addressing cancer health disparities through community participatory research and also in establishing and improving access to the utilization of cancer interventions. This is really a map that shows the 25 funded programs throughout the United States, and this particular program is a matrix, and each of these particular programs address either a specific geography or a specific cancer topic or a specific racial or ethnic group. And as you can see, they are located, we partner, the Cancer Information Service actually supports the majority, if not all, of these CMPs. But the Appalachia Cancer Network, you can see it's based out in Kentucky, but they have regional offices in Western Virginia and, of course, the one in Pennsylvania. As we said, the goals of the project is really about addressing health disparities through education, research, and training. And what we wanted to do in this particular endeavor was to really focus on moving the science into practice. And so that was the intervention arm that they had. And so that's how you'll see we approach the Using What Works training. These are actually the counties that they, in our region, address. You can see that there in Pennsylvania, it is 8 counties. Pennsylvania actually has 67 counties. So this particular partner addresses the needs of rural Pennsylvanians, but only the rural Pennsylvanians in these particular counties. And then in the state of New York, this is the only CMP, and it addresses the needs in two particular counties. So what we did was we really moved through this planning phase, building on past trainings, because we've had a history with them for about 15 years through other iterations of NCI funding. However, what we wanted to do is really build on some of the past work that we had done. So we had already done some Cancer Control Planet training, and I think Martha's going to talk a little bit about Cancer Control Planet in hers, and Cynthia talked about it also. But what we wanted to know was, you know, how ready were they to do a Using What Works training? I think there's a lot of interest, but, you know, were they actually ready? Were they going to be able to take what we were sharing with them and actually apply it? And so we did an assessment, and it was a collaborative process where the Atlantic region designed the assessment. We shared it with our partners. They kind of added theirs. Then the New York region thought, well, everybody's so scattered. How can we actually get this to the people? Let's look at alternative ways of looking at it. So we administered it through SurveyMonkey, and then the Appalachia Cancer Region actually did the SurveyMonkey and got it out there. This is the results that we build upon when we design the training, where it showed of the people who were part of those coalitions in those 11 counties that I showed you, how many were familiar with Cancer Control Planet. And the one that I really want to point out to you is that 72% said they did not know where to find evidence-based programs if they were when they were interested, but they didn't even know where would I even go about finding this. So we took all of these components and used the program Using What Works and kind of tailored it towards their specific needs. We did the similar approach that we did for the Komen trainings, where we said, okay, in order to reduce travel, because everyone's budgets are so tight, and to keep people closer to their home base, we did the two-part approach, the webinar online base, the webinar component, which was about 2 hours long, and it was very tailored for that specific, the previous slide. And it was really built on the showing what evidence-based program was, how to assess, and where to find evidence-based programs. And we put a lot of interactive slides where people could participate. Because one of the challenges, of course, of doing online training is you can't see people, you can't see how they're responding, you can't really connect, and how do you go about doing that? So we put a lot of little exercises in there as well. And then, as a result, before they came to the actual training, what we did was we worked once again with our partner to say, when we bring these groups back, we want them to work on a specific approved program that you're comfortable with. And that's what they did. They went on Cancer Control Planet. We showed them where to get that as part of the training. And then they came and they were put in pods where they could work with other people who wanted to adapt the same program to work through that skill building component. This is really the results of what we found. And so what I really want to show you is that throughout the entire process of the pre-post, you could see that there were significant increases in not only understanding what evidence-based programs are, how to collect data, primary and secondary resources, even how to do a list search step by step. But as you can see, we also wanted to know how confident were they in locating an RTEP, and there's a difference between being confident and actually knowing whether or not you can actually do it. So we took that extra step to say, okay, which step is it? And 68% answered that correctly. So we felt very good about that particular piece. So part two is really the face-to-face skill-building component, where we really worked on the adaptation piece. What are the core components of what can and cannot be adapted within that program? And showing them how to evaluate that. And really, what we did above and beyond this particular piece was really coach. Once the people left and went back to their respective institutions or communities, what we really tried to do is once they were interested in finding funding, it was really coaching them step by step how to actually do this. This is some of what came out of the part two session.
5 minutes?
Okay. This is really what came out of the part two session. And you can see, once again, we had significant increases. And, you know, one of the challenges is as you can see on this slide, close to 40% of people said they thought they knew what core components could and could not be changed. When in reality, when they actually went through the actual training, they actually said, oh, I really didn't know that, you know. So it was really encouraging to see that 53% still, despite that, actually did learn what the core components are. And more importantly, they learned how to tailor it. And this is the part really within community-based participatory research that is so critical as well, because, you know, the more you have the community involvement within the development of an intervention, the more ownership they have and the more likely they are to adapt and to really use these particular interventions. So we were really delighted with what we have found with this. In closing, what we have seen, and this is really just updated, we have had several of the coalitions go on to successfully obtain funding to adapt these research-tested interventions, and one in Crawford County, which is the western part of the state, on chew and spit tobacco, and we were able to really help them not only adapt the program, but hook them up with the principal investigator, and he was able to share their instrument, and then we went on to supply some local data and how do they apply that to really make that particular assessment and instrument relevant to their community so that the information that they got back, they were able to take those next steps. So it's very gratifying, very rewarding. And we found out just before we came out here that another coalition received funding to do another evidence-based research-tested intervention called Body and Soul, a faith-based initiative to work with African-American congregations to increase consumption of fruits and vegetables. And more we're seeing people, at minimum, if they're not using an evidence-based program, they're at least incorporating and utilizing evidence. And that's really the shift that we're seeing, you know, because this is a process. It's not just going to happen overnight. And so we're really seeing that wave come through. And, of course, my disclosure, and I have nothing, no personal needs, so I just put that in there. Does anybody have any questions? Yes. Well, the CDC Synergy, of course, has all those program planning facets, which actually dovetail rather beautifully in the program planning process. And so, although it is not a part of this, we have actually all been trained at CIS how to utilize CD Synergy. And so when we're providing technical support to our partners, we may be using CD Synergy and helping our partners understand how to access that information, how to use that. So we certainly are familiar and aware and are utilizing our counterparts' tools as well, whether it's tobacco or their social marketing ones.
Okay, what's RTAP?
RTIPs are research-tested intervention programs, and they're located on Cancer Control Planet, which is the web-based portal that several of the organizations that Cynthia alluded to, American Cancer Society, CDC, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, NCI, SAMHSA, they're all a part of this particular web portal where they're building and sharing, they're populating it, not only with data and information that you could use as someone who might be doing a project or a research project or a program, but also, you know, all too often what we're finding is that there's a lot of research going on, but the good research that we have done, nobody's utilizing it. It's sitting on somebody else's shelf. So what we're trying to do with this is really tell people, hey, there's a lot of good stuff that's already out there that you can utilize, and here's where you can find it. So SAMHSA has some. And it's not just the ones that are on here. There's like it links to the community guide at CDC. So that if it's not a program, it's an approach or a strategy. So we really try to help our partners understand this is not like the one, it's kind of like a one-stop shop, but it's really a portal to get to other areas. Okay? Thank you.
Safety, tobacco.
And it's a fabulous resource, and I think what you're hearing from the various case studies, in a sense, is, though, how do you take that research-tested intervention and adapt it? And I think the skill building is really what we've been doing with the CIS, because, again, it's not just pulling it out of Cancer Control Planet. It's then, how do I make this research-tested intervention appropriate for my community, my problem that I'm trying to address? And that's a whole other planning process, which we're trying to train communities in terms of so that they can do that. So it's kind of looking at both. It's a great question. Thank you. Our last presentation is from Marta Gonzalez from our coastal CIS region, and she's going to actually be talking about another local initiative focused on farm workers. And I will.